Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Psalm chapter number 18 in the Word of God. Psalm chapter number 18 in the Word of God today. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been now on Sunday mornings going through passage of Scripture, kind of exegeting the Word of God, looking at portions of the book of Psalm. And we've entitled this series, A Journey in the Psalms. And just making our way through an expository manner in different Psalms here in this wonderful book. And I just praise the Lord that you and I have the Word of God in our hands that's applicable for you and I living in the culture, living in the society, living in the day and age that you and I are living. And so today we find ourselves here in Psalm chapter number 18. So would you please stand with me for the Word of God, Psalm chapter number 18. And for some of you, maybe you're like one individual who approached me this morning right before Sunday school, and they said, Pastor, you were able to finish the Psalm last week. I said, no, we weren't. And if you were here last Sunday evening, I took our Sunday morning message because I only got through really about one point, and I combined it with the evening service. And in that evening service, looking at the book of Numbers and combining both, I only got through about none of my points. And so we got really through the introduction. And so an individual approached me today and was scared to death that I was going to take last Sunday morning, last Sunday night, and this morning and combine them all. And we're going to be here till 3 o'clock. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Yeah, I didn't think so. I'm not going to do that, and so we're just going to dive into Psalm chapter number 18, but I will say this, you don't want to miss the service this evening, and I know we have some visitors here, and maybe you're not used to coming to an evening service, but I want to invite you back this evening at 6 o'clock. We dive right in. We sing several hymns. We have some announcements. And then we dig into the Word of God. And most always, that service is right around an hour. So we're always out in good timing, able to get the kids back and ready for school tomorrow morning. But I just encourage you to come. It's kind of a time on Sunday evening because it's one of my favorite services. And we can really dig into the Word of God. And if you're a dad here today, have your kids in church. If you're a mom here today, maybe even a single parent, I'm telling y'all, you are going to benefit from being in the service on a Sunday night. Now, I know it's beautiful outside right now, but I looked just a minute ago. Don't judge me. It's supposed to get cloudy, and even around 5 o'clock, we might see a rain shower. So what are you going to do at home? Nothing. Just come to church and be in the services this evening, and we're going to dive right back into the book of Numbers, Psalm chapter number 18. Would you look with me as we read the Word of God? Now, for some of you in your Bible, you're going to have an inscription here before verse number 1 begins. So if you see me reading this, I'm going to read it right now, and your Bible does not have it. Don't panic on me. Just follow along as I read this inscription, and then we'll jump into verse number 1. Psalm 18, this inscription says this, "To the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spake unto the Lord the words of this," look at the wording here, "song, in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul, and he said," verse number 1, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." Verse number 3, "I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so shall I be saved from mine enemies." This morning I'd like to look at this passage of Scripture, and as the Holy Spirit allows for today, we'll move past this passage, but I want to look at this passage and preach a message entitled, "What God Is to Me." What God is to me. Let's go to Him in prayer today. Father, thank you, Lord, that we can gather. Thank you, Savior, for a free country in which we can do so. I thank you, Savior, for those who are visiting with us. But Lord, I am thankful each and every week for those who for many years, and some for even decades, have been faithful as a member of a local church to come together and to learn about you and to praise your name. And once again, to walk out these exits changed, different, more like you, taking on your attitude, your attributes, your spirit, Savior. And in this day and age, Father, that's what we need. Father, I ask, Lord, once again that you'd hide me behind the cross. Father, may we not walk out of here talking about a musician, talking about a preacher, but Lord, may what be on our mind today would be Jesus. Oh, Savior, would we be talking about you? I ask, Savior, that if we haven't prayed so yet, that we'd pray right now, Lord, speak to my heart. Lord, speak to my heart. Father, move as only you can. I ask, Savior, that we would not be afraid of the conviction today, but Father, that we would welcome it. We love you, Savior. In your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. We have often seen through the ages, and even in the day and age that you and I live today, many have a God. Even if we were to go around this community and begin to ask people, do you believe in God? Many would say yes. There are many that have a God, little g, but there are many who do not understand what and or who the God of the Bible is. You see, the National Geographic Channel, History Channel, they try to dig into what or who is God, but they've missed the point altogether. There are many who will believe that there is a God out there just by what mom and dad or grandma or grandpa has told to them. There are many that will tune into a radio station every once in a while and hear it maybe on FM radio or perhaps XM, or maybe they'll get online and they'll be scrolling through Facebook or Instagram or TikTok or Twitter, and perhaps they'll see just a couple sentences by a pastor or a televangelist that begin to comprehend maybe that there is a God out there. But really, if you and I begin to think about it, what is God to you and I? Let me ask you this question. Who is God to you today? You see, Jesus even asked his disciples this question in Mark chapter 8 and verse number 27. The Bible says that Jesus went out to his disciples into the towns of Caesarea Philippi. And by the way, he asked his disciples, saying to them, who do men say that I am? And they answered, John the Baptist. But some say Elias, and others one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Peter answereth and saith unto him, thou art the Christ. You see, many in the day and age that you and I live are confused as to what God is to them. Even as saved individuals today, if we were to ask the question, okay, you come to church, okay, you read your Bible, okay, you're in devotions, okay, you put money in an offering plate, or you give online, or you sing a special, or you play a piano, or you greet people as they come in, or you serve in the nursery, or you work in a kids program, or you teach a Sunday school class, whatever the case might be, I'm afraid that even in Christendom today, there are many that are confused as to what or who God is to them as an individual. You see, in our Baptist circles, and especially in the 70s and 80s and 90s, as fundamentalism began to grow, and then it's in some point in time, even in some circumstances, begin to get off track, there were those that began to teach that God is to a young person, or God is to a teenager, or God is to a family, or God is to a person who is saved, just fire insurance. It's this, you get saved, 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, and okay, now you're saved, and so you go on and live your life however you want to. You go on and just go about your days and try to get to church every once in a while and try to get in your Bible every once in a while, and you're going to be okay. But for many in our Baptist realm, tune in for just a moment, they have treated God as though he's just this person that came and died and buried and rose again and gave us our insurance that you and I don't have to spend an eternity in hell. And then that is as far as it goes. Now, friend, may I say this? If you're thankful to be saved today, would you say amen? I'm thankful that when I go to bed at night, I don't have to worry about going to hell. I know one day with a Bible conviction that I am going to see my Savior face to face. I'm not worried about going to a place called hell. I know whether I hear the trump sound and I'm called up out of here, you and I together as the bride of Christ, and or if I'm to give up the ghost and somehow pass away as I'm going to one day, I know without a shadow of a doubt, I am going to be in heaven and I am going to bow before the God who created all the universe. Make no mistake about it. If you're saved, we're thankful for that. But let me put it this way. When you and I begin to comprehend who God is so much more than just fire insurance to you and I. God is so much more to those, to many who would just treat God maybe as, let me put it this way, a genie in a bottle. They don't talk to Him. They don't dig into the Word of God. They show up for church every once in a while. God just really is this being that is out there and, oh, well, if I'm in trouble or going through a storm or a hard time, well, okay, then I guess at this point I'm going to talk to God. And, well, God, help me find my keys. God, help me restore my marriage. God, be with my teenager. God, give us a safe trip down to Gatlinburg. God, just be with us. We almost treat God as though God is just this being that's out there that, well, we'll talk to Him when we're in trouble or maybe every once in a while. To some, maybe, that are saved today, He is just a being that you and I cannot comprehend until we get to heaven one day. Now listen very carefully. God cannot be put into a box. Is God omnipotent without a doubt? Is He omniscient? Yes. Is He omnipresent? Yes. I mean, He is everywhere. He is all things. So let's just put it this way. When you and I begin to say, is God holy? Yes. Is He kind without a doubt? Is He merciful? Yes. Is He just? Yes. He's all of these things. And well, all of these things combined. And so even in the Word of God, we have two words that kind of sum up God. He calls Himself, I am. That means this, I am everything. Is there sometimes, is it complex to begin to think about who God is and what He does and what He is capable of, and that the God of the Old Testament is still the God of the New Testament, and yet the God who can give judgment is the same God that can give mercy? When at times you and I try to comprehend everything that God is, can it be complex and maybe overwhelming? Absolutely. But that does not mean that you and I cannot have a relationship with the God of the Bible. That does not mean that you and I just can't say, well, I look at heaven, I see God there, and I see God in the trees, and I see God in this building, and I see God in my family, I see God. So to be honest with you, I mean, I guess I'll just wait to get to heaven to see if I ever even had a relationship with God. Friend, that is so false. That is what is being shoved down our kids' throats today through all type of different media venues. Friend, may I put it this way? You and I can know the God of the Bible if you believe that. Say amen. In fact, I have a relationship with Him. How many love Jesus, would you say amen? It means this, you love God. Wait a minute. See, God and Jesus are one. Oh, man, does this not just get so overwhelming just so fast? We've heard, well, if you have an egg, you got a yolk, and there's three parts, blah, blah, and we've heard the whole thing. That's not the sermon today. The sermon is this, what is God to you and I? Who is God to you and I? You see, I think at times, if we're not careful, even at Cross Point Baptist Church, we become very comfortable in what we believe. Pastor, what are you saying, that we should change? No. I believe that the theology that's based on the Word of God is foundational, and God does not change. Therefore, you and I do not have to be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine that comes up nowadays and every new nuance that comes up. We got to believe that. We got to go along with that. No, that's not what I'm saying today. What I'm saying today is that at times, I believe when you and I begin to open up the Word of God and not look at it like, yeah, I'm here to tell you, person over there in the overflow, they really need this today. Oh, yeah, my wife or my husband or my grandparents who are sitting at home and they're on live stream. Boy, sure hope they're tuned in. Maybe shoot them a text real quick because they're the ones that really need this. And, well, I'm just, oh, good, I'm glad they're here today. They really need this. No, friend, when you and I pause and begin to open up the Word of God and begin to use it like a mirror, not pointing out you and you and you and you and you and, oh, everybody else needs this, we begin to look at it in a way that it is for you and I. What it pushes us to do is change in areas that you and I ought to change in. May you and I as Christians never come to a place where we hit the apex, the pinnacle. Oh, I'm there. Oh, I'm just so godly. Boy, I'm just telling you, wish everyone had my life, and wish everyone was like me. And boy, I'm just so thankful I am not as what? You see, there's passage of Scripture that talks about those that were called, what's the word? Pharisees. Their robes of purple, their phylacteries on their head. Boy, I'm glad I'm not a so-and-so. Can I just tell you, friend, when you and I take the Word of God and we begin to allow it to convict our own hearts, let's just put it this way. All of us ought to be willing to change the things that God has convicted our own lives about. Pastor Foe, you and I can't judge each other. Let's just put it this way. John, you and Joy can't come. It's the shepherds versus you guys. That's not it at all. It's us looking at our hearts and changing where we need to change. So we ask this question, okay, what or who is God to us? Then we must begin to comprehend that here in the psalm, we have what God ought to be to us. You see, in this passage of Scripture, I read the inscription that precedes this psalm because it gives us some insight, or let me put it this way, some background or a foundation to these verses. As the inscription states, this psalm was originally a song. They would sing it. It was written to glorify the Lord and honor Him after delivering David from King Saul and from all of his enemies. And you could go back and read those passages of Scripture there in 2 Samuel chapter number 21 and chapter number 22. And so David begins to dig into and praise the Lord who has given him great victory. And along with that, the thought that David has towards God really can be a motto for you and I as well. So let's dig into it here for just a moment. Number one, if you're taking notes today, would you write this down? Number one, He is our delight. He's our delight. Look at verse number one with me and look at these first four words. I will love thee. The word love here is a word that means, in our English language, to love deeply. This word means a tender intimacy. It carries the idea of a mother's love for an infant child. Now think about this for just a moment. That's an illustration. I think anyone here who has ever been around a female and a little baby, it's just one of a kind, is it not? I mean, men, we can walk in and babies are cute, and I thank the Lord for the Whitakers and can't wait to meet that little baby. But to be honest with you, when I see a little baby and it's all wrapped up, I mean, it's cute. I'm like, oh, it's so beautiful. It's so great. You pull the covers, you have a little blanket back. Oh, I'm just kidding. And you look at it. Oh, it's cute. But I'm here to tell you, put a female around it. Oh, what do they do? Can I hold it? Oh, can I get around? Oh, I just want to. Some of you, still in the corona mindset, you're about to have a panic attack right now. But still, you get a female and they want to hold it. And oh, my goodness. So how did the delivery go? And, oh, what did it weigh? And men are like, oh, are you kidding me? You're going to get into this right now. The game is about to start. Would you come on, girl? It's just, for a mom, it does something to them. It's tender. It's intimate. It means something. What David is talking about here when he begins to write this song, he says this, I will love thee. It has the idea of loving one so much, you just want to hug them, listen very carefully, really close. It doesn't sound irreverent. The psalmist is telling us that he is so filled with the love of the Lord that he just wants to get close to Him. He just wants to love Him. There is something endearing about getting close to someone that you love. And what do? You hug them. I have two twin girls, Nora and Rose. And it's so funny that it does not matter what Nora and Rose are doing. They're 5 years old. They'll be six in June. And it doesn't matter what they're doing, whether they're working on homework or whether they're practicing piano or whether they're upstairs playing on the Nintendo Switch. If they hear me come in, you know what they do? They stop everything they're doing, and they run down that hallway with their arms wide open. And what do they do? They don't come up and, well, hello, Father, how are you? And shake my hand. That's not what they do at all. You're a preppy dude. I'm just telling you, we are from the South. We hug and we hug everybody. And my little twins come running out. What do? Man, I scoop them up and I hug them. And sometimes I'm on the phone. Hi, how are you? I was so good to
to see you, yo. And what do we do? We love them. You just want to be around them. Has anybody ever had a hug from George? If you need your back popped, if you need, don't go to the chiropractor. Ask George. George, how you doing, brother? Man, he from up here, your L1 all the way down, he will pop your back so good. It's amazing. Everybody's like, hey, George, bring it in, brother. It's a hug. It's an endearment. It is what? It is it's a love. Do you understand that in the Word of God is how many treated our Savior? Do you know in the Word of God that Jesus, even in His ministry, was not this distant person that, well, stay back, you go away, and I'm just gonna have my little ministry here. Do you know that the Bible talks about that the disciple in whom Jesus loved laid on his chest? Do you know that this intimacy that we see here, this emotion, this love even came and was felt by Mary Magdalene when Jesus was resurrected from the dead in John chapter 20? Jesus saith unto her, listen and check this out. Mary, she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say master. And Jesus saith unto her, listen to the first thing Jesus says unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended into my Father. He knew immediately Mary was going to run over and be endeared to him, and she was going to worship him, and she was going to love him. And even when the disciples saw him in Matthew chapter 28, listen, I mean, we never think about this, but the Bible says this, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them saying, all hail, and they came. Now listen, the first thing they do, and held him by the feet and worshiped him. Considering everything that you and I have from our Savior, considering that he came and he died and was buried and he conquered death and he lives today and he shed his blood for you and for me, and we get to live with this grace and peace and the mercy that he bestows upon our life each and every day, not to mention all the blessings that you and I have in our life. Friend, can I put it this way? You and I ought to draw Savior close to our Savior. It's an endearment. It's a love. It's a hug. It's not just, well, God is to me. Oh, man. If I had to think about it, I don't really know. What God ought to mean to us is that we want to draw closer to Him each and every day. Amen. You know who you and I love, we're going to spend time with. I mean, that's a fact, friend. I love my wife. I always want to spend time with my wife. Always. I love her. She's my best friend. She is everything to me. I die for her. We have a blast together. We love ministry together. We love raising 5 kids together. Like 99% of the time, we love doing everything. We love being around each other. Can I just put it this way? If I'm going on vacation with somebody, first person I'm picking, my wife. Sorry, Brother Ben. I mean, we're friends, but maybe second or third, but just my wife. I want to be close to her. Yes, amazing. We say we love God, but how much time did we spend with Him this past week? Yeah, we love to talk about what we love, do we not? Some of you love sports. I love sports. We get together. We talk about sports. Some of you even thinking about, just a little new baby coming to Cross Point. You just can't wait. And you love to talk about babies. Or for some, maybe you like to talk. You're a doctor. You're a nurse. You talk about all the weird, bloody things. And you love to talk about this and that. And for some, you're in college right now, so you love to talk about whatever field you're in. And grandparents in here, I'm just telling you, grandparents, you know what you love to talk about. How your little grandkids and how cute they are. And they did this. And look at these pictures. And we love to talk about what we love. Is it easy to talk about with somebody at the grocery store the weather? It's spring. It's beautiful. Maybe like me and Pastor Williams, you're struggling with allergies right now, and we're all taking the old Benadryl and everything else. I'm on Claritin or something, so don't, I, You don't have to come up and tell me, you need to be taking this. I got something. And I'll be honest with you, it is working like a dream, friend, okay? So if you're essential oils, I don't need any right now, okay? So it's easy to talk about the weather with somebody. That's why. Well, we love the sunshine. We love the blue sky. And we love spring. Oh, Indianapolis, beautiful. Let's get out and hike. Let's go to this. But how many times do we strike up a conversation about the God that we supposedly love? We love church. Boy, I love coming to church. Love worshiping Him. Love singing the hymns. Love hearing the preaching. Love, 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 love. But how often do we talk to our neighbors about, well, the place that we supposedly love to be at? You see, God does not want to be in our lives this big, distant God that is up there and He's just too much to take in. And so, well, praise the Lord, I'm going to heaven and that's it. And then we just kind of muddle through life and then we're okay. Listen, I've already given the illustration before. God does not want to be this old antique chair in our life that we admire and look at from a distance. He wants to be the IKEA couch in our life that we're around and we love and we're in it all the time. We don't just talk to God maybe in a devotion for 5 minutes. God wants to be involved in our life throughout the day when we're in a walk, when we're on a break, when we're taking or doing exercise, when we're in the car, when we're listening. I'm just saying it this way, friend, if you and I are talking to God for 4, 5, 10, 30 minutes in the morning, and then we're going a whole 24 hours before we discuss Him again, I'm just beginning to wonder if the first four words of this psalm even really apply to our lives. Why? Because the psalmist is saying here, I'm going to write a song about how good God is, and here's how I'm going to start that song. I will love thee. Friend, I'm asking us today, do we love our God? The God that loves you and I. I want you to look at verse number 1. Look at the continuation here. He says this, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. He calls God here my strength. Now think about this for just a moment. 9 times in the first 2 verses, David uses the personal possessive pronoun my. My. M-Y. Did you realize that my is the first pronoun oftentimes that is learned by children? It's my. It's my toys. It's my house. It's my Batman. It's my Nintendo. It's my bottle. It's my cereal. Mine. Me, I've got it. Unfortunately, many times adults carry this over into our, well, adult years. It's my car. It's my finances. It's my life. It's my ministry. It's my. It's me. It's I want it. But what David is doing here is expressing simple, childlike faith in his relationship with the Lord. He is saying that he is totally dependent upon the Lord for everything. Everything in his strength, every ounce in his body was dependent upon God. And for me, I put it this way today. Listen, I don't have time to go into looking at the examples of pride that sneaks into our life of thinking that the church is our ministry is ours, or my work is ours, or the management position, or my. We don't have time to go into that. What we're doing here is building a foundation that David is looking at a childlike faith that his strength came from God. In the day and age that we live, friend, I'm just going to put it this way. Oftentimes, you and I are drawing strength from everything else but God. We've done it. I wonder where our strength is really coming from. You see, at times you and I struggle with, well, who do we believe in the coronavirus? Well, who do we believe in politics? Well, who do we believe in the election? Well, who do we believe in science? Well, who do we believe in a job? Well, who do we believe in a spouse? Well, who do we believe? Who? And we begin to question and question and question. And to be honest with you, isn't it amazing in our life how many of us draw strength from everyone and everything else, and the very person that we exclude is the one that we ought to be drawing our strength from, and that person is God. Amen. It's God. And friend, oftentimes, once you, Pastor Foe and so many other pastors in here, you've been preaching long enough that you know when it hits about, getting towards the end of a sermon, you've been preaching, that if you're not careful, you begin to lose folks. I'm not talking about those who are sleeping. You go ahead and sleep, okay? I don't want to wake you this morning. You're good. Just get it in. Dream of me, okay? Now look, but I'm talking about you can lose folks in their thought concentration. You can lose folks in, well, I've heard this before. But I'm going to ask as teenagers this, where are you drawing your strength from? Every dad and every husband that's in here today, can I ask us a question? Gentlemen, where are we drawing our strength from? Moms, where are we drawing our strength from? Look, I'm here to tell you, moms, you have got it just, and grandmothers, you've got a difficult task in life. It's tough. You've been given the responsibility of the home, and raising kids, I'm just here to tell you, is not easy. People say, oh, the hardest jobs in the world is the president of the United States, and believe it or not, even ranked up there is pastorate, the pastor position. I'm here to tell you, I've been pastoring for, 10, 11 years now, and friend, let me put it this way, I can pastor all day long. But when Carrie leaves town for 2 or 3 days, I am begging God that time goes faster and she gets back in the house, because it is difficult for him. God, tough. Hey, moms, let me put it this way. You don't have to do it alone. You're not alone and by yourself in this. You have God. A single mom, I don't know who you are, but maybe you walked in these doors today and you don't have a network of people. And you don't have a mother-in-law. You don't have a mom. You don't have a friend. You're just barely getting by. Can I just tell you, single mom today, you don't have to do this by yourself. God is there with you. Friend, I don't know who you are, but maybe this past week, You didn't receive good news like the Whitakers. Maybe you received news that was maybe even the opposite. I say, you don't have to go on a journey by yourself. Maybe this past week or maybe this past month, you were given the news. You know what? It's called cancer and it's stage fill in the blank. Hey, friend, you don't have to go through it by yourself. I praise the Lord. When Carrie and I first got here, I don't know, it was probably one of the, Brother Denny, it had to be the first week. I think it was the first week we were here. It was really hard when we first got here, memorizing faces. I was trying the best I can through mask. It was just very, very difficult. Now we're coming past all that. Soon you take your mask off, and now we're doing it all over again. Do we not look different when you start taking your mask off? Like, I'm like, man, I didn't know you had facial hair. I'm talking about the men, okay? I didn't know you had facial hair. Hey, it's unbelievable. And just trying to memorize everybody. And Brother Denny said, hey, Pastor, can I come in? I'd like to talk to you. I said, oh, yeah, Brother Denny, come on in. And you'll be brand new first week. I had no idea what Brother Denny was going to say. I did not know. Brother Denny does not mind that I share this story today at all. But Denny came to the office. He said, Pastor, I don't know you, and I'm thankful that you're here. And he said, but I've just been diagnosed with cancer this past week. This is our first conversation that we ever had together. You know what I love about Denny is that I was thinking in my mind, okay, scripture verses, okay, how do I encourage him? Does he have a wife? Does he have a family? Does he have a position in the church? My mind starts rolling. I never forget, Denny just sat there, and Denny's got a laugh that you can hear a county away. I don't know if you know. But Denny started laughing in there, and we got to, just chuckling about some things. And Denny said this, I'm going to be okay, Pastor. God is my strength. It's my strength. For every couple in here today that you are this close to calling it quits, let me tell you something. God's got you. You don't have to go through this alone. For every person in here today that's going through a tough time or a difficult time with the teenager, mom, dad, let me just put it this way. You're not a failure. You don't have to go through this alone. Every grandparent in here that feels like, man, I've done the best I can and trained up a child the way he should go, but we just feel like it's coming to fruition. I feel like I'm just a big old failure. Let me tell you something, friend. You are not a failure unless you give up altogether. A just man falleth 7 times and getteth up again. Stop drawing your strength from CNN and Fox News, and stop drawing your strength comparing your life to everybody else out there on Instagram and TikTok, and start drawing from the source that will never dry up, that will never leave you, that will never forsake you. That, friend, when everybody else has turned their back on you, when everybody else makes you feel like a failure, friend, there is a God in heaven that's saying, no, you're not a failure. No, don't you give up. No, don't you call it quits. No, don't you throw in the towel. I've got you. Let me be your source of strength. And when everybody looked at David's life and everybody said it's over and everybody else said, why don't you just give up? Why don't you just go ahead? Why don't you kill him in the cave? Why don't you just go ahead and kill Saul when you came down into the camp? Why don't you just go ahead and give it all up? Yeah, I know that God back here in 1 Samuel chapter 16, he anointed you, but you know things aren't going really well. Why don't you just go ahead and call it quits? No, here is a man who went through the storm and at the very end said, I think I'm going to write a song. And here's what I'm going to write. Oh, I love my God. He is my strength. At Cross Point Baptist Church, put it this way, I am so thankful for the 25 acres that this church sits on. I'm so thankful for the tithes and the offerings. And I'm so thankful for the men and the women who are faithful. But let's just put it this way. That is not our strength. God forbid, but if this building burned down today and this whole property was flooded out, we couldn't even drive on. Guess what? Big deal. The church isn't gone. You and I are the church. And our strength is not sitting here with these lights on and the air conditioning / heat on this morning. No, friend, our strength is the God that created the universe and made you and I to live in the generation, in this culture, in this society that you and I live in. And he didn't create us and say, good luck, buddy. Good luck with your marriage. Good luck, mom, with your kid. Good luck being a failure. No, he's saying this, friend, I got you. Stop looking everywhere else and start looking up. Amen. Start looking up. Now look, I'm almost done. Don't shut your Bibles just yet. Now watch. Friend, in the United States, if we're not careful, we start drawing our strength from whoever is in the White House. I don't care if it's President Trump or I don't care if it's President Biden. Our strength does not come from the White House. Thank the Lord for our men and women in uniform. And this is not to undermine them at all. I praise the Lord for those who have fought and gone on before us. Pastor Dan and I visited a World War II vet this past week. And man, it was incredible to hear the stories about Japan and being on a boat. And I loved it. And I have great reverence. And just, man, I'm in awe of men like that. My hat goes off towards them. But let me just put it this way, friend. Our strength is not going to be found in the United States military. It's in God. But there is a generation that has gone on before us and will tell us very quickly, if that's where we're drawing our strength from, that strength can be pulled away just like that. But guess what? God has unlimited strength. It never goes away. It just, no matter how many times you and I mess up or fall down, we're just not, he's not going to get tired. He's there for us. Yesterday, Carrie and I took our kids first time to the zoo here in Indianapolis. Just an amazing time. It was incredible. I loved everything about it except for the snakes. You know, I just so stupid. Why you got to put snakes in there? Just kill them. Put some fake ones out there. Anybody with me say amen. It's not real biblical, except they are cursed. Genesis chapter 3. They are ugly and they slither around. And I mean, if you've got one as a pet, you will never be a good friend of mine. I'm just putting it that way, okay? It's a total joke. But we're there, and by the end of the day, Carrie, what began to happen? And parents, you're there with me. It's not just my kids. They just began to, especially our five-year-olds, they began to break down. We're out of the stroller stage, which in some ways I praise the Lord for, because, man, hauling those things, getting them out, putting it down. But it was nice. Just you get tired. Me and Carrie were sitting at the end of the day, you know, you just put them in there, but we didn't have it anymore. We got to the end. Our girls got tired. So what'd they do? Our twin girls didn't go to our seven-year-old London and say, carry me. Well, they didn't go to Lois and Tommy, who's sitting in here today. They didn't go to them and, hey, brother, sister, here, carry me, I'm tired. Because they knew that would last from here to that wall, and then they're going to switch off and say, I'm tired now, yeah, I can't carry you. What do? They go up to dad and mom. Help me. I'm tired. For Carrie and I, it was not, and true story, it was not, look, kid, you're 5 years old. We've only been walking for 8 hours. Get over it and let's go. Be a shepherd, amen? No, it's not it at all. What do? Brought him over to a bench, put him up there, said, get on my back. We carried him. Carried Rose a lot longer than I carried Nora. I was a little bit embarrassed there, but I tried. Let me just say it this way. Are you tired today? Friend, what are you fighting? What's the turmoil? Where are you losing patience? God is a God that's saying, come here. I got you. Here. Here, get on my back. I'll carry you. Oh, God, I don't know if you, I mean, there's just so many other big problems. Shh, I got you. Yeah, but I know so-and-so is running. Shh, you're my child. I got you. Mom, dads, what are you struggling with? Grandparents, what is it? I tell you where we have to, here's what we have to do. You ready for this? This is not comfortable for everybody, but I'm just going to say it. We got to start looking up with our families, men. I'm talking about during a Sunday morning when Chris is up here playing the piano. Doesn't matter who's peeking or who's looking around saying, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to talk to my Lord. And you know what the Lord is saying? Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn of me. What is he saying? I've got strength for everyone in this room today. Now, room, let's stop and let's talk to him.